Moncrief on News Talk.
That was a woman being funny. Zoe Lyons there talking about alopecia, plus the way when the hair can often disappear from your head, it seeks another escape route. If you're a man, normally your ears and your nose, and that's on foot of the piece we did about alopecia and the piece we did about women being funny. Speaking of funny women, Barbara Scully, who was named Jade earlier, is here. Somebody did text in to say all the brilliant Irish comedians we have, and you were named as one of them.
Was I?
Yes.
Oh, I love that person. Thank you. Good. Okay. That's great.
And Declan Buckley, who can be amusing as well.
I'm a woman on a Sunday.
Yes, you are. And a funny woman as well.
And a funny woman.
And it's very funny.
Yeah, part-time funny one. Anyway, here to solve your problems as ever. And here's your first question. I've a dilemma in relation to next door neighbours. We reside in an idyllic, quiet cul-de-sac in a small town. All four houses are occupied by families who have lived here for the last 25 years since the road was built. And thankfully, we've always gotten on extremely well with them. Never had any trouble. Both my wife and I are self-employed, run our own businesses. I work in construction. My wife works in beauty. We have offered our services to all our neighbours for many years. It has recently become a common theme that two of the families consistently avoid paying us. They have us carry out building work or beauty treatments on them on a regular basis. We agree a price, albeit heavily discounted for them, and outline the expected payment prior to this. But each time when the work is completed, there's no further communication. They actively avoid us when passing and don't respond to calls or answer the door. Normally friendly, approachable neighbours become ice cold until a few days or weeks time when they become totally friendly again and eventually inquire about more services. They sometimes do give payments weeks after, not always in full. Over recent years, we are thousands of euro worse off from the two families, a huge contrast to the other neighbouring family who always pays on time. It's an extremely awkward situation. I don't wish to risk falling out with anyone. We constantly try to avoid working for them, but we are hounded until we agree, and they make it uncomfortable when we say we can't accommodate them. Any advice on this would be appreciated, as we do love our home and do get on well with them otherwise.
She's in beauty and he's in construction. Their home must be amazing.
It must be.
It's really gorgeous. Yeah. Gordon, it smells lovely. One of the first things that has me baffled about this is where they say in early on in this letter, we have offered our services to all of our neighbours for many years. I don't know what exactly that means. I mean, I'm self-employed, as is my husband. Now, whereas my skills might be a little obscure, not much use to the neighbours.
Listen, do you want it in written or do you want a joke? Call me up. Yeah, give it to you cheap.
My husband's a photographer. We have a very good friend who lives across the road and he is a builder. And so, you know, if somebody wants my husband's services or if we want the services of my friend across the road, like, OK, mates rates probably apply.
Okay,
but other than that, all the rules are the same. So I don't understand. Did they do something initially when they moved in or early on to offer their services to the neighbours? Did they canvass for work, in other words, from the neighbours? And did they somehow give the impression that they were kind of open to, you know, I don't know, that they were looking for job experience or something? And is that why these neighbours... Yeah, exactly.
I'll do it for exposure.
Yeah. Is that why these neighbours think that they don't need to pay them? Because, you know, anybody living in the real world knows that if you get work done, whether it's on your face or your house, you have to pay for it. So I don't understand how they've gotten into this situation where not one, but two of the four or the three neighbours think that it's OK either not to pay them or wait for a long time and only pay them like a half or less of what they asked for. Because like one of the first things you learn when you're self-employed is, and it can be difficult, and that's why I'm wondering, does this stem back to how they started, is to value your own work and to be unafraid to say, this is what it's going to cost you for me to do whatever it is that you're going to do. And I know that can take a little bit of getting used to if you haven't done it before. But in answer to the question of what do they do now, they've let this go on like for quite a long time before. And obviously they've now suddenly sat down and worked out all the thousands of euros they've missed from letting this go on for so long. And I guess they're starting to kind of feel a little bit resentful about it. But I'm not sure, because the one thing they say, which is right, is that they don't want to fall out with their neighbours. And I think that's really important. It's very important not to fall out with your neighbours if you can avoid it. So my only suggestion is to them is to stop doing work for these neighbours.
Yeah.
And there's loads of ways, you know, oh, look, I'm out the doors, like I've a million jobs on between now and the middle of next year. Like, so I won't be able to get to you for a long time. Either of them could say that, but just stop doing the work, you know, because it's you're being taken advantage of. And I can't believe that the two houses out of the four think that it's OK. I think they just think that you're not that bothered and they're getting away with it.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. The problem is that the letter writer is implying that their neighbours are the problem when in fact they're the ones who created this culture. They're the ones who are accepting the terms, which seem to be that our neighbours will ignore us when they owe us money and assume that our memories are so short that it'll take 3 days to a month that we forget. And they've wiped the slate clean and then they can come and ask again for a freebie or whatever. That's the culture that they're... If they're not creating it, they're definitely condoning it. And that's totally within their gift to stop. Not a gift. Don't make any more gifts.
Gifts, yeah.
It's within your capability to stop it. And it's like, what made me like annoyed about this letter is that they're describing things being awkward because neighbor A or neighbor B won't pay them what they're owed. And then they're willing to put themselves through the kind of cringe of working for free. Because what do they think is going to happen if they do, as your advice, and I agree with that, is say, look, I can't do it. Like, what do they think is going to happen? Do the people need the work or not done? Is there a value on the work that they need doing? Or is there some kind of like, your man across the road will do it. Just a builder. She's just a beauty. You know,
that's exactly part of
but
the
problem. I imagine there's more of this happening to her than to him. I mean, the neighbours aren't getting extensions built every 2 weeks, but if she works in beauty, people might want their, whatever that means, but let's say, for instance, she's a hairdresser, that could be a weekly service people might require of her.
And there's a possibility, perhaps, that she's doing this from home as well, which makes it seem less formal.
Yeah.
But it is her business. It's how she's making her living. Like, you know what I mean? So, I even if that is the case, I really don't think, women in particular, like, we all know, even those of us who don't use beauty salons clearly very often, but we all know how much it costs to get your hair done or your nails done or your eyebrows done or whatever it is you want to have done. So I mean,
the real issue here
isn't
about what people believe and what people don't believe. It's about a culture that has been created and how difficult it is to try to change the way things are done when they're already set up in another way. Like, they've basically set up a system whereby the neighbours can kind of tap into these freebies. And if it is just, you know, getting, you know, their hair cut or their nails done or whatever, and that might feel to the person getting it done as a kind of a...
Yeah.
Because it takes half an hour or whatever it is, that's not that important. But for somebody else, that's their actual work. That's what they do. They just bunch of those jobs together, and that's how they, you know, make their weekly amount of money. So from my point of view, I come back to the same point, that if they're not getting paid for what this person is getting done, then it goes way to the bottom of their to-do list. And so therefore, if they want to do it...
Yeah, fine. And
fine.
No,
if you want to do it for free and that's what you're accepting to do, I don't think you can change your neighbour's perspective by giving them...
Could it be what you said at the start, Barbara, that I bet their house is fabulous? They've got the nicest house on this cul-de-sac.
And she's got a fab face.
She looks amazing. They've got a massive extension. It looks great. And then there's a general perception among the others that, sure, they can afford it. Yeah. Almost like they owe it to them. They don't.
Yeah, no, I think there might be a possibility of that. Yeah, definitely. But as you say, they don't. But the thing is, like, I do think it's both of them, because they did say that, where is it? That they said they have us... They have us carry out building work or beauty treatments on them on a regular basis. And building work can be something's broken, something fell off, something fell down, you know, needs to be fixed rather than a big project. But all those little things add up, you know?
Yeah.
And so you got to stop doing it. You just got to stop being available.
Or find a way to flag a change of scenario. Like, in the construction thing, you could say, look, things are more expensive than they were before.
They've lived there for 25 years, though.
Yeah.
Like, they've let this go on forever. Mm. They're also coming up to retirement age, so don't worry about it. Just tell them, you know, you'll get
it. We don't do that anymore,
We're reducing our hours, or we're not doing that anymore, or whatever, But just stop. You don't need to have a big, because you shouldn't fall out with your neighbour. So you don't need to have a big confrontation about it. I think, you know, that ship has sailed, getting the money back that you have like been owed
has
over
it?
Years.
Yeah, do you
I think so.
Yeah.
I think let that go. But from here on in, just don't do any more. And you don't have to say, I'm not doing it because you don't pay me. You can say, look, I'm really, really busy at the moment. I won't be able to get to, you know, but I could recommend somebody else if you're really stuck. That's the way to go at it. I wouldn't do any more. But
I'd like to know whether or not the neighbours do any kind of quid pro quo freebies, whether they get like...
Would you recommend somebody else though? And they go, that fecker never paid me. Why did
Would you see, with somebody else will take them to court if they don't pay them.
Yeah,
whereas like the neighbour probably won't. So I think they're taking the you-know-what, like the neighbours are for
absolutely
sure.
Absolutely.
And the fact
are.
That they then don't talk to them for a couple of days or a week or whatever, they go all icy, like they know what they're doing, which means they're not very nice people.
No, they're not. No.
You know.
Yeah.
So move. Yeah. I'd move, actually.
Yeah,
move.
Well, somebody had suggested move to Alaska. That's, okay, it's extreme. David in Galway says, if you expect payment, don't get it. Chalk it up politely and decline any further business.
Yes, yes, yes.
A very smiley, proactive encounter is needed. Listen, we won't be doing any more work for you as we don't want to blur the lines of good, friendly, neighbourly relations. If you could fix up what you owe us by the end of the month, that would be great. Thanks
a
million.
Oh, that'd be lovely. Could you imagine the fireworks that would follow that? Yeah, no. Yeah. They know, the neighbours know full well what they've done.
Yeah.
And if they haven't paid yet, they're not paying. Yeah. So I'd say, look, forget it, but don't do any more.
Or maybe the neighbours pay tax legitimately and the builder and hairdresser don't with cash jobs.
Oh, God. You'd think self-employed people... Oh, my God. Right, okay. Don't get me started. Yes.
No, but... Fact that straight up there, house, and look for the money. Okay, great.
And I love the way that you think that just because somebody works in hairdressing that they're going to have lovely hair themselves, or that somebody's a builder that their own house is going to be. That's not how that works. Most of the time, they're doing all the good, fine jobs for other people.
Yeah.
What was this saying? I was trying to think of the saying there about the cobbler's children not having any shoes.
Well,
isn't that true?
That.
Yeah.
Yes.
They should create a schedule of all the payments they were due, the payments that were made on, what dates, etc., and outstanding owed. Next time they're asked for work, they need to say that they can't until the arrears are paid, and then they can just leave it up to the neighbours whether they pay or not.
Exactly. Yeah, that's going to go down a bomb, literally.
But I would also say that, look, if you have a conversation in advance where you say, this is the work I'm going to do for you, neighbour or not, and this is how much it's going to cost, and then you do the work and they don't pay you, that isn't the same as having a kind of a grey area about whether or not you should be doing favours for people.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't let that one slide. I would be pursuing that, like, you know, firmly but politely, going... You know,
would you? I think because it's two out of four neighbours who are doing this, I would just put a line underneath it and say, look, we, you know, because part of it is their own stupidity for having let it go for so long. So I would put a line underneath it and say, that ship sailed. We're probably never going to get that money back, but we're not doing it anymore.
And build a wall between your house and there's a really high wall. And just keep building a wall so they're boxed in.
Somebody else says, I'm self-employed. I'd hound them until they paid me. Yeah. I'd let people know publicly if they didn't.
Yeah, but then, you know, they're your neighbours. And, they, you know, that's the reason why he doesn't want to she doesn't want to confront them. And I understand that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, my thing is they are partly responsible for this mess themselves, for letting it go for so long.
Yeah, somebody else says it's called the curse of the cul-de-sac.
The curse of the cul-de-sac. Say,
stay away from Sacks. I don't know what
it
that
means.
Means
that you're
I think somebody sent that in and it was really, they thought it was really hilarious when they were texting it in, but it's somewhat lost in translation.
Yeah, it's a little bit.
Anyway, in order to spice up our sex life, my husband of 25 years and I decided to share our fantasies with each other a few weeks ago. He confessed to me that he's always dreamed of having sex in the shower ever since he watched some early 90s steamy thriller as a young lad. I was happy to comply, because I'm an adventurous sort, but boy do I regret it now. It was dreadfully cramped, my hair got tangled in the shower head, he slipped on an errant bar of soap, and I generally found it the least stimulating environment I've ever experienced intimacy in. Unlike the Hollywood films, I found the sluicing of the water worked aggressively against any natural lubrication and made the entire endeavour rather uncomfortable. The trouble is this, he loved it. Now he keeps suggesting we do it again. I love that he's enthusiastic about our love life, but I'm terrified of spraining something. How do I get him to retain his newfound enthusiasm while gently encouraging him away from the bathroom area?
we've had a similar problem to this before, and I don't know whether it's a combination of our bad advice or whether the husband's persistence that this person.
Do you think it's the same couple?
Well, it's a very similar problem. It's a very similar problem, but that notwithstanding, I'm going to sort of. The advice will be the same, dear, which is that if I would always say the first point is never do anything that you don't want to do. It doesn't matter how enthusiastic or into it somebody else is. Your sexual partner wants to do something. If you don't want to do it, you shouldn't be doing it. The other part of it is it's about how you find a way to put the dampeners on somebody's.
Very good, Declan. Just snuck it in there.
Somebody's suggestions.
Boom, boom again to you, Barbara.
Oh, here now. look, the reality of it is that there's a couple of ways to get the topic moved on. One is to redirect the activity away from the chosen location into a more comfortable or a more practical location. Because she's totally right. It's totally uncomfortable. Most of these kind of fantasies that people have, the idea never matches the reality, and you've done it once now. So what I would suggest that you do is that you acknowledge that it's kind of hot that your husband has this fantasy, and it's also fun that you've done it and you've tried it out, but now it's reached its
zenith.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's climax. Ending.
Yeah.
Boom,
it's climax.
Boom, yeah.
And that maybe you can find something else that's, that can be turned on and off like a shower head.
I see this as a health and safety issue. Nothing to do with kinky sex.
Okay.
It's a health and safety issue.
Yeah.
I mean, unless the woman in this case is very tall and can remain standing on her own two feet.
I know. It's the mechanics of it that's difficult to figure out as well.
Then this is a very dangerous proposition for somebody who's clearly probably in their 50s. Unless they have a very, very large shower with a lot of non-slip mat thingers on the floor.
Or they wear rubber soled shoes or something while they're doing
it. Like the ones who are going swimming, which would be really...
Your willies would fill up with water then.
Exactly.
So,
Or unless they have a disabled shower where there's grab rails and stuff. A seat in the shower.
A seat to do
that
it.
That would help. Yeah.
There are occupational therapists right now listening going, yes.
So in case you're wondering, folks, that's what those seats are actually for.
Yeah, exactly.
For grounding relationships.
But as you get older, bathrooms can be dangerous places because they're slippy and slidey. Mm. And unless you're living in a very big house or have a very big, wet room, as I say, with grab rails, this is a ridiculous idea. Mm. And, your man should be told it's a ridiculous idea. Literally nothing to do with kink, nothing to do with being turned on or having a very exciting sex life, purely on the basis of health and safety. You will fall, you will break something, and then that'll put a halt on things for quite a while anyway. Mm. So you need to tell him all
and
that.
Water isn't sexy.
It's not.
She's right, it does dry up.
Dries up everything.
Just tell him no on the basis of health and safety that you're not willing to risk, breaking your leg or your armor or anything else, and that should be the end of it. Or if that doesn't work, then fall over and break something, and that'll put an end.
Yeah.
Anyway, but
apart from faking your own death or whatever, there is the other way around. It would be to actually just offer to do the deed somewhere else. That would be more comfortable.
Where else would be?
Just
which
like
isn't
hello,
the bed?
Hello, come into the bedroom, Brian.
Exactly. Yeah.
Here we go.
He doesn't want the bedroom. So where else could be? If she
rents out a series of steamy 90s films that he may have or may not have watched as a young fella,
get some inspiration.
That has some other location. That might be better for him.
I think she might be opening a hell can of worms. I don't think it's there. Yeah. They're
I'm
not
think there was
real.
A very sexy scene once. What was the one where your woman killed the rabbit? Fatal Attraction.
Attraction, yeah.
In the kitchen.
There you go,
on
the sink. In the kitchen, yeah.
That would be better. There'd be water around. Yeah. But
now
you know,
you're upsetting all the occupational therapists yeah. now again. They're going to be, you've gone against them now. That's not safe. That's
yeah, but no, it'd be better in the kitchen because it wouldn't be as
on a gas
slidey.
Hob.
No, not on the gas, on the sink, I said. There'd still the be sink. A bit of water.
Ah, you'd need,
he could splash around.
No, but not if it was like a stainless steel sink. That would be uncomfortable.
Or granite, a granite
a granite one. Or you could, if it was a Belfast sink, you'd just fall
or
into
fall
it.
Into
and
it.
Then,
exactly, yeah.
That's health and safety now.
You've broken the coop. You've broken the cooker.
And then all they need is a neighbour who's yeah. in construction who can come in and fix it.
That's what your man is doing to all the other houses, I bet you. That's why they're not paying him, but that's why they don't look at him for a few days afterwards.
I see here, Brian.
What's worrying is that they waited 25 years to have a shower together, says one texter.
They may have had a shower together. Having a shower they together might, and having different. Sex in the yeah. shower is two
they're
different
not in
things.
Hockey team.
Now, someone says, we always have sex in our tiny shower. We call it the squash court. It's fabulous.
The okay.
As in, like, because you're squashed.
A lot
together.
Of people are recommending getting a new bathroom with a walk-in shower. If he buys one, yeah, there we go, same thing. Begin in the shower and lead him out to the bedroom by his you-know-what. His you-know-what should be very happy at that point and very happy to follow her, so we'll follow his you-know-what. What? That's totally confusing.
I'm not
but at the end, that sentence yeah. is finished.
It's
you
changed
know.
Choice. It's changed choice.
Do it in the local gym, so they're insured. They could book a hotel and with a massive shower in it.
But how do you know if you've got a massive shower in a hotel room? Unless you
can
you know,
ask them. Yeah.
Do you have them? Yeah. But you still need non-slip like floor bits.
You need a nursing home. Yeah,
well, you need a nursing home. Actually, a nursing home would yeah. have exactly what they're looking for.
Where did you get her from? Says the texter. Shower sex is fantastic. She's clearly gone past the stage in life where she enjoys pleasurable things. Afterwards,
that's ridiculous.
Stop.
Don't be ridiculous. Don't be ridiculous.
Actually, she didn't tell us what she asked for, so that would have been
that's exactly the problem.
Yeah, well, yeah.
This is I don't
want to
do what
know.
You want
to
do.
I'd like to know.
That couple can go to an accessible hotel room within large showers, probably will have handles and all.
That's true, yeah, because I remember when we used to bring my mother away, we used to, yeah, you can book a room with disabled
okay, I didn't
access.
Know where that story was going
yeah, no,
there.
No, we didn't arrange, right? No, no, walk off me, poor
we'll
mother.
We'll be back to collect you tomorrow.
Here you are, man.
Don't do anything I want to do, Mum.
Gino's at the door here. To look after
so
you
it's
shower.
Just a hard no to the man. There's no.
It's a
there's
hard no.
No
all
yeah,
right.
It's
yes,
a hard
it's
no.
It's a hard no.
It was you know what.
Yeah. Look, but this is like Barbara's very hard no in that she was like you know for health and safety reasons. Well, I'm saying that you know a little bit the art of redirection. I said direction, redirection into a different location is probably what I would suggest.
I'm just wondering where the different location is that's sexy other than the bedroom.
You can make anywhere sexy.
Take him out in the car, maybe.
With a bit of
would
imagination.
You like that?
The car. I suppose there's various rooms. The kitchen, maybe, if there's a suitable place.
Did you just say in the car?
Yeah. Sex in the car. No.
And you think that's less of a health and safety problem than like doing
yeah, because you're
a...
lying down. You might put your back out a bit, but
you
probably won't break a leg.
If you have, you'd have to have like an automatic
car. And a big car. Well, it depends on what size you are. If there might be small people,
a car
we need a big
like
car.
A minivan.
Oh, a camper van. Sure, all the old people have camper vans now.
Yeah. Now, they've been married for 25 years. They're not 90.
They're in their 50s, though.
They're in their 50s.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, best of luck in that. Sorry, we couldn't come up with a more.
Yeah, do you think we sorted that out?
I don't think so. Somehow,
I'm more confused than
I
started, to be honest. So.
I've been with my boyfriend for 8 years. We're both in our late 20s. When we met, we were both into raves and festivals, taking drugs and drinking. I still like to go out occasionally and drink, but the heavy party days have fallen to the wayside for me. On the other hand, my boyfriend often drinks heavily and takes cocaine, and I'm struggling to deal with this sort of behaviour now that we've moved in together. Obviously, I sort of feel like a hypocrite if I say anything to him, because this used to be my lifestyle too. But we're older now, and I feel like I've outgrown it. It's gotten to the point where he can't go out on a Friday night without getting a bag. And then he's dying for the weekend or has chronic anxiety all week until Friday rolls around. He does the same thing. I adore this man and we've spent so much of our lives together. But now I wonder, are we going in different directions? How do I broach this topic with him?
Many of our problems end with how do I broach this topic?
Mm.
Look, hands up. I am no expert on coke. But it sounds to me that he that he's not really enjoying this lifestyle either. Do you know what I mean? And that's the bottom line here. Like, she feels she's outgrown it and she's moved on and she's not into that kind of hectic partying, but he still is. But at the same time, she's saying that he can't go on a Friday night without getting a bag. And then he's wasted all weekend. And then he spends all the midweek being chronically stressed and anxious. And he can't wait for Friday to roll around again. Like, that's not a life. Like, that's not...
That doesn't sound
like that he's having a good time. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if she does adore him and they've spent so much of their lives together, how come they can't sit down and she can't have a very straight up, honest, frank discussion with him? He can't be any fun to live with if what she's describing is how he's operating. So I don't understand, if they're in a relationship that seems to be as long and as good as they have it, why can't she sit him down and say, listen, Frank, do you know, like, this isn't living. Like, this is not good. You're going to have to try and she could help him maybe to cut back or do something different or not be in places where the temptation to get his coke is there. But clearly, like, yeah, it's not suiting him no more than it's not suiting her. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And it just sounds to me like they haven't had, or she hasn't sat him down and had. And you know yourself, if you're in the middle of something like that, you can't see the wood for the trees.
Yeah.
Take somebody else to say, look, you know, you're a pain in the neck all week. You're chronically stressed and you're anxious and, you know, you're uptight. And then Friday you're wasted. And then you've lost Saturday and Sunday. And then we're back on the roundabout again. And it's like, it's not working for her. And I think if he loves her, he'll have to, he should be open to doing something about it. You probably have more experience in these matters than I
would. Getting a bag every week?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, Barbara, please don't throw me under the bus. The actual expression. No, but look, I do understand how people can get into a cycle of a certain kind of socialization. It doesn't have to be about drugs, you know, it can be drink, it can be even just the kind of the FOMO, the addiction to actually wanting to be out when other people are out, because you think that's where the crack is to be had, both literally and metaphorically. And I think from that point of view, I think a lot of younger people were kind of socialized into going out. And then the transition from being somebody who's going out to being somebody who stays in a couple of weekends is both a sign of maturing, but it's also a sign of somebody who's just had enough.
Yeah.
So some people have enough earlier and kind of cool their jets and kind of mature and get ready for the next phase of their lives. And other people are so in the hamster wheel of the cycle, for reasons that the letter writer describes, of, you know, they get through the week and then the weekend's here, and should the weekend is here, I might as well do what I always do, and then suddenly the weekend is over, and then I just have to get through this week at work, and then I can, you know, and that person isn't engaging with their life. They're not thinking about their life in that way. And sometimes what happens then is that, particularly with couples who are moving at different rates, one person no longer becomes compatible with the other. And I don't know whether or not this couple has longevity, and I know that sounds like I'm being kind of harsh and I'm not being judgmental, but I mean is that if that person chooses, the guy here chooses to stay in that kind of life and stay in doing that thing, or let me phrase it another way, decides to not engage with making a decision and just stays on that hamster wheel of doing the same thing over and over again.
Is that what she's scared of?
Yeah, because it's so easy. That's the easy, that sounds like the hard thing to do. But it's actually the easiest thing to do is just stay in your routine, because it's the thing he knows.
Yeah.
It avoids everything. It avoids having to make hard decisions. It's, you know, and whether that's addiction or whether that's, you know, all manner of other stuff, or whether it's just being actually a sheep because it's what all your mates are doing.
Yeah.
It's actually much harder to do what she's doing, which is to realize, actually, you know what? This is not for me. That's the big, you know, that's somebody with their big pants on going, you know, I don't want to do this anymore.
And she's now saying, this isn't for me either.
And often it's the women in the relationships that kind of, you know, that kind of cop onto that bit.
Yeah.
They're in their 20s. He still has time to sort things, you know, out.
Yeah.
But I do think that a little mirror up to his face is a helpful thing.
I think so, yeah.
Will it turn out that he's going to go, oh, you know, you're absolutely right, and now I'm going to become a stockbroker?
Or really just say,
you know, maybe he is a stockbroker. He sounds like a stockbroker to me. but the reality of it is that, you know, if this is a compatibility issue, when this is a red flag, and this is somebody going, whether he's choosing the bag of coke over you, if you have expressed the fact that he is, if you haven't said it to him, and you maybe haven't shown in that mirror, then you haven't given him a choice to make. Yeah. And he's just choosing the easy option.
No, I totally agree. Yeah. I think it's very important that she does, as you say, hold that mirror up so he can see.
And it isn't hypocritical for her to do that, by the way.
No, it's not.
I think that she's at a new stage of her life. Yeah. That's the normal thing to do.
Exactly. You know?
Well, she's probably worried that he might go, no, I'm going to continue on with this. And then
he makes that choice of that over her.
And then that's that relationship.
Maybe that she realizes that. And then people hate that. People hate to see the fact that their own growth or their own, you know, maturing or whatever it is means that
somebody's
they have to leave something behind.
Yeah.
But sometimes
but
it's the
better
that you're
she knows that
with.
Now rather than wakes up in another 5 or 10 years' time and goes, oh, God, I wish I'd done this in my late 20s when I thought of it first.
Yeah. So she could say to him, listen, rather than your usual going out getting coked out of your mind, why don't you stay at home and we'll have sex in the shower?
In the shower.
That might do it. Yeah. Lead him by his you know what.
And you bring the coke in the shower.
Yeah, that might. Oh, God. Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.